Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live tonight from Paradise, California.
Greetings from Earth, and welcome once again to the Creative Cosmos Radio Show. You're listening to the voice of Christopher Moores as I take you through the late afternoon here today. And as always, follow along with the show on the website, creativecosmos.org, creativecosmos.org. And probably a little bit after the show, I'm going to put up a new little piece of writing that I did today, but I thought just finished it up a little bit before airtime. I thought it might be fun to start out with a little bit of, well, today's bit of writing ended up being more like poetry than prose. So here we go. It's called Oh People of Earth. Oh people of Earth, who see the rise and fall of time, 'tis not surprising ye are full of fear and wine. Wars are raging and the weather is wild. Cowering in their bunkers are mother and child. Careening, unneeding, ye bash your head against the wall. 'Tis better to have lost a thought than not to have thought at all. Old paradigms are fading like yesterday's sunset. No more crazy expectations can possibly be met. The sun and the moon are whistling a tune. 'Tis wisdom and beauty from the universal womb. Aligning with the laws of life, your strength never wavers. The fruit of all your labors will grant ye much favors. 'Tis good to be alive and have the health of youth. Angels are near, and God's wind whispers truth. And again, that was a piece of writing by myself from today called Oh People of Earth. And I often, when I'm writing, I try to tune into humanity as a whole. I try to think of everybody and write something that can be universally helpful or something that illustrates that very wide perspective. And I entitled the show today, Freedom from the Body-Mind, because body and mind are intertwined. And then later on we'll go into the soul and source and how you can incorporate these higher energies into your everyday life. So that will come, the time will come to talk about that, but to start with, we need to deal with the nitty-gritty. And this is one thing that is a very important thing to remember as we embark upon the spiritual path. You know, we often emphasize the positive or look at the light side of things. You know, many people consider themselves light workers and use a certain type of language and try to always be uplifting, which in a way is pretty good. But we also can't forget that that alone is not going to do the job, that we each have to dive deep into the subconscious and root out some fundamental things so that those energies will truly rise to their full potential. Some masters in the East wouldn't even spend much time talking about the astral realms and the angels and the beings and the things that could be experienced or seen there or the way it worked, because it's such a brilliant and wondrous place full of imagination and the ability to manifest things quickly and to see all the wonderful beings and friends, and it's really a great place. But sometimes people will want to just stay there, or they'll see that compared to their earthly life, consider it so much better, and then think they've arrived. But the path goes on and on and on through the astral realms and beyond. And to harmonize your chakra system to the point of where it can become the hollow bamboo and truly channel through the source, we have to address these fundamental issues that most people have. You know, if you've simply gone through a normal American life, watched a lot of TV, kind of had typical family values, went to church and whatnot, and maybe went to university, got a job, and you truly believe yourself to be part of that world, I'm speaking to you because there's much more. The progression of humanity is destined to be much more than that. We can't just allow ourselves to become complacent, because life itself is a precious opportunity for exploration. You know, the purpose of being here is awakening. It isn't to work 20 years at a certain factory or whatnot. It's to, unless of course that happens to be your path that awakens the meditation in you, which is possible. But generally speaking, you know, you don't want to become trapped in really repetitive and habit-bound behaviors. And you want to, you know, one thing a lot of people in today's society do is they rationalize their compromise. You know, I hear again and again people say, well, I got to deal with the real world, so to speak, or I've got to deal with this matter and that matter. I don't really have a choice in this situation. Or if I want to, whatever, you know, if I want to keep my job, I got to continue to do this. Well, then you say, well, maybe you want to leave it. Maybe you want to leave that job and give up the job. And then the fear sits in, well, then what? You know, then I might lose my house. Well, so be it. Is the truth worth losing your house to you? Is having a solid core and peaceful well-being because you're following the path you're meant to follow worth you risking, sacrificing, making tremendous change? Because to truly uncover your birthright, it takes that kind of intensity and that kind of a fire and that kind of a dedication, and it's not something that's going to be handed to you. It's not as easy as simply believing in it. And it's not even as easy as listening to people talk about it, although that can create an atmosphere and be a tremendous support in your own experimentation. But never believe the one who's ready to hand you simple answers. You know, one can only describe what they've encountered along the path themselves in order for you to be more alert and able to handle some of what occurs when you walk the path, because some of it can be rough. And we were just speaking to someone here in BBS Studios yesterday who had begun that path, who had started to investigate things in this manner, and was wondering about that very thing, how, you know, she felt like certain things were lost in the process. But then when we talked more about it, she realized that that was part of the change that made way for the new. And to be open to the new, we not only have to realize that we've been taught many things that tend to limit our perceptions, but we also have to realize that just being in the body in the third dimension has a way of kind of filtering perception That's why one of the basic meditations in the Buddhist tradition is to become aware of your five doorways to perception, your five sense perceptions, and meditate on each. Pay deep attention to each and how it is stimulated, because you can get to the point of where you see, like, say, if you eat a piece of food, you can interpret it as pure sensation. It no longer does preference necessarily have to come into play. You know, you can see that it's something is extremely sweet and how it sends a certain charge up into your tongue and back into your body and processing your mind that way, or anything, certain smells or sounds. Each of our senses is a gateway inside. And so we have to understand that so that we have a position of observation that is free of the five senses. In other words, we're observing them in the way they process the information, and then we can experience it consciously instead of losing ourselves in the experience as it occurs. So we can truly, in that way, enjoy the experience, but be non-attached in the experience. Okay, so you have basically each of your senses which filters what you encounter in the outer world. And we know the spectrum of vibration goes beyond what each of those five senses can perceive. So imagine yourself as a being at the crossroads of perception, being at the crossroads of vibration, that all around you are all kinds of vibrations of all kinds of frequencies, and your senses just tune into these slices of that vibration. But when you realize that, then you can start perceiving the other vibrations that your five senses don't pick up on in a different way. And this is through your intuition and through your what some call the sixth sense or the psychic sense, where you perceive with your aura. And for those of you who are not yet super familiar with that concept, that all around your body is an energy field which extends off of your body. And you vibrate outward past the skin, and there's like an oval field of energy around you. And different people's energy fields radiate different colors in accordance with their mood or their state of spiritual progress. Some people's lights are really bright, and some people's lights are very soothing and healing. And some people have tears in their aura or really deep bruises on their aura where you could almost see the aura losing energy, and then you see the person's body as a reflection of that energy field. You know, maybe they're all slumped over and depressed. But we got to lose this fascination or concept that we are just that body, the body we're in, having a body experience. There's so much more. The body is just the beginning. Even sometimes it's interesting meditation to consider your body just the sack of blood and guts, you know, all the stuff that's on the inside, and just think about what the body's made of, all this meaty tissue, all this pumping systems of fluid. You know, one of the meditations Buddha had new disciples to be do would be to go and spend some time meditating at the burning grounds where they burn bodies. And so they would sit and watch the bodies being cremated. So it would really come into their mind and their heart and into their true knowingness that the body itself was transitory and that it would face death, but there was a being inside beyond death. And this is why we're trying to link to the being beyond death. Because if we can become awakened in the body now, when it comes time for our physical body to pass away, we should be able to step over with complete continuity into the astral realms without it being a traumatic experience. Because much of the trauma that one faces when they die is their bad attitude towards death or their fear of death. So although it sounds kind of crazy sometimes to think about watching your bodies being cremated or to just think of what your own body consists of, it really underscores that point. Really gets you to face it so that you don't waste time. Gives you a sense of urgency that we're here now. If you're listening to this right now and you're healthy and you're well, there is a sense of urgency to awakening, because that supersedes all experience or phenomenon in the worldly realm. You know, all the seeking for advancement in the world doesn't compare to making progress on the spiritual path. In fact, success and failure in the world, either way, inevitably leads to you being on the spiritual path. All roads lead to the spiritual path. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner you can get on with the work that needs to be done in order to set you free, not just in the body, but in the mind and in the spirit. Another important matter to be aware of, just in basic human understanding, is that the brain itself is divided into two hemispheres. And we have the left hemisphere of the brain and the right hemisphere of the brain. And they tend to process things, information, in a different way. The left hemisphere of the brain tends to be the organizer. They often say math and science go into the left hemisphere of the brain. It's the more rational mind and attention to details and form. And the right hemisphere of the mind is considered that to rule creativity and even divine realization, because it operates more in a flash than in a line. And so all the time we're perceiving, everything we see gets run through this split, this dichotomy of the left and right hemisphere of the brain. And that's why we see 3D world in duality, to see this or that, yes or no, or always to think that we have to choose between one thing or the other. And when we understand that that's simply part of the way that the physical body and the mind is made up, that's just the way the mind works. That's the way it sees things. Until we become aware of the singularity beyond the hemispheres of the mind, that consciousness which resides around the mind. The mind simply processes, so the being beyond the mind can see the information. So to find that unity within, we practice observing the mind. We look at what occurs within the mind. And the more we watch it, and the more we come to understand it and to follow the impulses, first of all, we'll be able to trace things back to their source, and if the source is another person, we'll free ourselves of that compulsion, because it couldn't possibly be our own understanding if it was given to us by another. And eventually, the more you catch on, the more you see how this works, you will not want anybody else's thoughts contaminating your own. You'll want to know for yourself, and to see for yourself, and to learn for yourself, because that's the only way real progress can be achieved. That's the only path to real growth. And so we rise above the duality of the mind and see that that is simply the way things are perceived from that place, but that the duality can be seen as a whole. That is the beauty of the symbol of the yin-yang. We see a duality, but in the design, it has an intrinsic wholeness. We can see the whole. We can see how they are, yin and yang are not opposing each other, but that they're complements. They help define each other. It's a kind of play that makes the 3D world possible to experience. Which brings us then to another phenomenon that occurs on the spiritual path. We spoke of coming to terms with physical death, and then of how various things are perceived through both our senses and our mind, and how that works, and how we can just know that that's how it works, and how then it no longer has to influence our whole perspective. But there is also another kind of death that can be even more traumatic than the physical death, and it's the ego death, the death of all the sense of separateness that we've carried, not just in this life, but through every life. When we've braced ourselves against the world, cut part of ourselves off, not fully expressed in the moment, just all the roles we play in various circumstances, viewing ourselves in the same manner other people see us. There's so many things that reinforce the ego every day. And when we don't have that to lean on, we feel lost. And that's one of the pains that we have to learn to accommodate to have real deep spiritual growth. So we have to be able to feel that pain of not having anything to lean on, kind of a spiritual nakedness of where we come to terms with standing alone and not having a false center that helps deflect the directness of life experience. No longer seeing yourself as defined by others or as defined by circumstance, you begin to make room for what is to follow. The whole, at this point, getting yourself to this point, of all that we talked about, learning about the senses, learning about the mind, learning about the ego, dismantling the ego, clearing out all thoughts that are not your own, learning to observe and rise above and perceive things from a higher perspective, all sets the stage for the recovery of the soul, for the entrance of the soul into the body. We are all born with a potential soul to come in, but many people, by having such rigid beliefs and by living only through their senses and being confused by the duality of the mind, have completely closed out the possibility of connecting to that soul. So some people go through their whole life and the soul never gets an opportunity to enter in. The higher energies never get a chance to connect and flow into the body. So this is really what we're talking about, is getting humanity to that next level, getting people, just teaching people the tools they need to begin that journey that is so much more expansive and is so much more rewarding. Again, when we clear that all out and begin to open up for the opportunity for the new to enter, we are at the rebirth, the new birth, the entrance into the next level of our evolution. You're listening to the Creative Cosmos Radio Show, and I am Christopher Moores. Welcome to this fine Monday afternoon. All right, this is a good time for a tune break. It's a really happy tune for a Monday afternoon. It's called A Simple, Noble Truth.
Oh, don't see a problem where there's not one, where there's not one, where there's not one. Oh, don't see a problem where there's not one. A simple, noble truth. face yourself. Or can you do it now?
Welcome back to the Creative Cosmos Radio Show. This is Christopher Morris, and you're listening to BBS Radio. I'm broadcasting live today from Studio 2, Paradise, California. And oh boy, has the weather been unbelievable. Between 90 and 100 degrees for about the last 3 weeks. Sunny as could be. And I know myself, I'm ready for a little bit of rain. Nothing like a little bit of rain out there, folks. You ever stand in the middle of a rainstorm? Next time it's raining, don't shelter yourself or cower down. Open up, dance around, let yourself get all wet and be thankful that you're alive and you're on a planet with such miraculous wonders. And we've been talking in the first part of the show about how to find freedom from the body and mind, and really freedom from the body and mind comes through understanding, coming to know thyself, and giving it time and making it a priority, and then perhaps sharing that experience with others who are doing likewise, who consider their inner world of importance, and who realize that the better you feel inside, the better world you'll create outside. And that none of the problems you see, that tune we just listened to, had a good message in it. Don't see a problem where there's not one, where there's not one, where there's not one. We just have to stop projecting these problems onto our world. Stop allowing our ego self to get lost in the duality and create confusion that we then have to suffer through. When we get space from all this noise and it starts calming down, and we learn to slow down, just slow down the pace of everything, and to create a general state of openness, we begin to feel the soul in its first signs of entering in the body. And it's very important that you have a safe place to go through this, some place where others are not going to deny you, or people who, you know, might ridicule or push down on you that, because this is a very delicate and sensitive process. And you can almost look at it as parts of your soul have to be reawakened or reinvigorated, almost mourned in their having been lost for so long. And when you find these pieces of your soul that have been frozen in time, you often end up having to cry. You cry them in, and the tears are like the purifying rain we talked about moments earlier, because the tears flush your whole energy system and invigorate those frozen parts of yourself, those lost parts of yourself. This is a piece of the spiritual puzzle that I think sometimes doesn't get talked about enough. You know, imagine early on in your life, you know, maybe you had a really traumatic experience, or maybe you were in a really high-pressure situation where you didn't get to, like, play, or you didn't get to, you know, really have the freedom that a child needs to follow through on their whims. I mean, really, these days still, I probably say a majority of the children end up going out into the world with so many problems they didn't need to have simply because parents haven't even tried to come up with enough understanding to or to deal with their kids as human beings and realizing that each human being intrinsically has certain freedoms. You know, I think in the West, or maybe all around, people believe they have a certain possession over their children and feel they have a right to impress upon them their own ideals. But nothing worse could happen to a child entering the earth and beginning to sort out what is occurring in role models or teachers. They need one who will guide them, who will tell them of certain things that might occur, or to bring certain things to their attention or good direction to them, but not in the form of obligation or in the form of exclusivity. I was listening to a little bit of Papa Jeff's show Sunday, and I thought that was cool when he was talking about that, how we just can't have any group showing that kind of exclusivity, cutting out all other people from it, because that is what causes harm and separates us from a wholeness. So into the more of the soul, coming into the body, you will recover after recovering those pieces of yourself lost in the current life by allowing them to come up and find their way home. You will also start recovering memories of your greater soul travel through various incarnations. In other words, you'll begin to remember past lives, and not just as if you were reading it in a book, but also as your own personal experience. You're feeling it again, or you're reincorporating the personal individual memory of the experience. Not only the experience of being that person, you may also reincorporate all the knowledge that the entity had in their lifetime. You will gain life experience through reassimilation, if you can allow yourself not to doubt and to trust the process as it comes through you. And so you'll gain life after life after life of experience and understanding. And then when it all becomes once again part of the whole, and you reflect upon the road that had brought you to this point, and you see the lessons that were part of the road that brought you to this point and put them all together, then you stand once again as a soul in the body, fully aware of the whole path that you've walked through lifetimes, once again carrying all the wisdom and all the knowledge of all the lifetimes at once. Then you are truly ready to open up to new understandings and even greater universal reality. Because in this place, you will establish your own link to the source of life itself. Because the soul is a part of the source, and that is your link. You will feel once again your, not just in understanding, yeah, I see how we're interconnected this way and that, and this is related to that, but you'll be invigorated with the energy which pervades through all things, for instance. And simply by intending it, you can know the perspective of a plant, or an animal, or a planet, or a star, because it's all life, it's all vibration, and you're connected to it all, because you're life, and you're vibration, and we can disperse into this, when we can relax and tune into this, and allow it to come up and fulfill our whole energy, we can feel our heartbeat and the heartbeat of the universe as one. Even now it pulses. And the universe itself breathes through us. And through tuning into that breath and that heartbeat, we will see the whole world through the eyes of the universe. And the expression which gives rise to words like the Lotus Paradise in the Garden of Eden. Because these are not places that are lost existentially. They are places we have lost the ability to tune into as humanity. That is the fall from grace. Not that there's anything holding us there, but there's kind of been a shroud of ignorance that has gone out through humanity. So we simply unspin the ignorance. We unwind all of that which we've picked up. So we travel back the road which brought us to the point where we woke up and understood. And then when the soul is in the body and nothing's pushing it out, and you're back to being whole, your soul and body, and your mind is open and clear, and your emotions are sensitive, yet also flowing freely. So you're resonating in a peaceful harmony. Then watch for that which you feel inclined to do. Sometimes there are hints of this from your early childhood, from when you're 3 or 4 or 5. I know myself, when I was a small child, I really loved color, all kinds of color. I wanted the crayon box with 64 or 128 crayons, and I'd make these rainbow pictures, and I'd draw all the time. But then as I went into my school years, I got totally distracted with other things. And it wasn't until I was in my early 20s that I linked back up with the fact that I enjoyed color and I enjoyed drawing. And then I remembered that from when I was a small child, and it was amazing. 20 years, I didn't draw. I didn't enjoy what was my natural inclination because of the distractions of the world and what I was being taught. But when I learned to listen to myself, and so then imagine yourself as being 25 or 24 or 25 and not, and realizing that you really enjoyed drawing, but by this point, you know, you weren't going to get any formal training or anything like that. And many people think, well, if you don't have a degree or you don't do this or that or the other thing, you can't be that or you can't be this, limitation that, block here, block there, fear, denial. And, you know, you have to be strong enough in your dedication to yourself into finding the truth within yourself, that you don't let those denials stop you, and you don't let them hurt you, and that you keep going for it, you keep searching for it, and if you find out you love something that you didn't even really know yet, it's not too late. It's not too late at all. Whatever position you are in your life, 30, 40, 50, if you realize you want to try something, try it while you're here, before it's too late. That's what we're here for. And then you'll find joy coming from the heart. Because you see, we can do meditations on our heart chakra. You know, we can imagine the color green, or we can focus our energy in that area, or we can breathe in and breathe out and breathe in and breathe out in that area. But you know, the best way to open the heart chakra is to do something you enjoy, or be around someone you enjoy being around. And then you'll feel the center of your chest open wide open. You see, this is a way to open the chakras and to activate those energies. And then it's not kind of forced on it from the outside. And when it opens from joy, when it opens from fulfillment, and you know what it is giving you that joy and fulfillment, then you can keep moving in that direction. And then it's not a fleeting experience. You can make it part of your life. You make the heart a part of your life. You welcome the heart into your life and the language of love into your life. And the whole manner of expression, which comes as a reflection from that new understanding, from that deeper commitment to friendship and kindness between each other in humanity, and realizing that it's to the benefit of everybody involved if we were to help each other. And we can each do our part by holding true within ourselves. And when we look at the world and see some of the madness going on that's reported in the news and happening here and there across the globe, violence and people doing such harm to each other, we have to remember that we can't do everything to change it, but we can do our part. We can hold true to a way that doesn't accept that, that holds to the higher ground, that holds to the deeper understanding, that's educated historically, psychologically, spiritually, and where you can speak your own mind and stand by your own position and know that there is not just one limited pathway to remembering our divinity. And then we begin to create a world that includes love, that includes the astral realms, that includes recognizing the sun and the earth and all stars as forms of life unto themselves, and foreseeing how we fit in the universal plan, not just in our own personal ambitions. Then we begin to make room for the soul and connect to the source and transcend the limitations of the body and the mind. Thank you for joining us today, everybody out there, all you BBS radio listeners and fans of the Creative Cosmos radio show. You can write me if you want, email. You got any questions or comments or contributions, as always, you can write me at cmoors, C-M-O-O-R-S, at creativecosmos.org. You can find all pertinent links on the big site that you all know, creativecosmos.org. Stay tuned to BBS Radio for more of the most amazing information out there on everything from metaphysics to science to spirit to alternate media, you name it, we've got it covered. So stay tuned. BBS Radio, All right, we're going to round off the show today with another Creative Cosmos classic by myself, the host here, Christopher Morris, and it's a song called Good News. Catch you Wednesday at 3 Pacific, everybody. Bye-bye.
A 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I got good news. 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 I got good news.
Roll the stone. Roll the stone, dancing in the USA.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.